Mary Kay, Inc., a global direct sales company, began as the faintest of signals. In the early 1950s, Mary Kay Ash was selling mops and other household cleaning products at a house party in Texas when she noticed something. It was the remarkably smooth complexions of the women there, which they owed to a homemade facial cream offered by their friend, the hostess. At the time, Mary Kay Ash was driven to be the best mop saleswoman she could be, and she could have easily forgotten about the women's complexions, or not even noticed this weak signal in the first place. But she was interested in the skin cream. The hostess sent her home with a bottle, and it gave her face a similar glow. Over the years, she kept going back to the woman's house to refill the bottle, both for her personal use and for her hunt. She sought out the hostess's father, a tanner, who had devised a fluid for softening the hides of livestock. When he realized that the fluid also softened hands, he concocted the formula for the beauty cream. Millions of satisfied Mary Kay users around the world today can thank some scarred horse's ass for their radiant complexions. The economist Todd G. Buchholz remarked in his book, New Ideas from Dead CEOs. But Mary Kay Ash was barely in mid-flow of ideas tracing back to the house party. After buying the rights to the Tanner's formula in 1963, she opened a retail skincare and cosmetics outlet in Dallas, which failed. She started keeping a notebook of both good and bad ideas she had picked up while working for various direct sales companies. She struck up conversations with colleagues and others about how to motivate a sales force. There were other ideas to be found, tested, and tried. Along the way, there were also personal trials, the loss of a job, the death of her first husband. But the ideas stayed in motion, leading to what would become a global independent network of more than 2 million salespeople. The Case of the Guitar Strings. How do you keep ideas in flow? One way is by keeping yourself in the flow, putting yourself in the line of fire of potentially valuable ideas. Much of this has to do with lessons highlighted in previous chapters about getting into the habit of looking for ideas everywhere, all the time. What we want to pinpoint here is the act of moving toward different sources of ideas and consciously beginning to work with those ideas. This requires agility, the kind that Mary Kay Ash showed when she was selling cleaning products at the house party and suddenly fixed her attention on the women using the facial cream. Putting herself in motion, she also gravitated to other idea spaces, including the place, wherever it was, that she met up with the tanner. We picture her in a barn, staring down at a horse's rump, in search of ideas about women's skincare. How W. L. Gore came to produce top-selling guitar strings is a story of idea flow. In theory, Gore had no business getting into a market populated by such grand names of the guitar world as Martin, Gibson, and Guild. Gore was known primarily for its popular fabric, Gore-Tex, although it uses the basic technology for a range of applications, including medical devices. Back in the 1990s, one of its engineers, Dave Myers, was working on a project to develop artificial arteries. Like some of his colleagues at the Gore plant in Flagstaff, Arizona, Myers was also an avid mountain biker. So, while working on a coating for the artificial arteries, he also started experimenting with gear cables using the same material. He wanted to produce cables that would allow the gears on his bike to shift more smoothly. That he did. Gore added mountain bike cables to its lines of products and extended the application to the cables used to animate puppets at Disney World and Chuck E. Cheese's. For his work on the cables, Myers had used guitar strings as his principal prototype. Job done, he might have had every reason to toss the strings, coated with polytetrafluoroethylene, or PTFE, the original Gore fabric material, into the wastebasket. Instead, he kept them in the flow. Not a musician himself, Myers asked a few amateur guitarists what they thought of the coated strings. He had a notion that the strings would feel smoother to the touch, but what really impressed the guitar players, after weeks of picking and strumming, was that the strings kept their tone longer than conventional strings. In 1995, after much more experimenting and prototyping, Gore unveiled Elixir strings, which last 3 to 5 times longer than conventional strings. For guitarists, as well as mandolin and banjo players, this means they don't have to restring so often, which is nobody's favorite chore. That's why Elixir, which also costs more than other brands, is now perched on top of the market. Myers demonstrated great agility. He started with ideas for his work on artificial arteries, which, by the way, became another successful Gore product. Those ideas stayed with him as he pedaled into other idea spaces, including the mountain biking scene of northern Arizona, which ostensibly had nothing to do with his job. Out of that flowed the ideas for bike gears and puppet cables. Then he stepped into an idea space he was completely unfamiliar with, guitar playing. The guitar strings that Myers used as gear cable prototypes were essentially a weak signal, a faint glimmer of another idea. He followed the signal, and the result was the first major innovation in guitar string technology in more than 2 decades. If Myers and others at Gore hadn't kept pedaling, not one of those products would have seen the light of day.